Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi there again, and welcome back to the update. So this is the little service that I'm doing hopefully every day, but as often as is possible throughout the week, just to look at the shape of international affairs and hopefully look at some of the kind of the historical long tails of the issues that we're discussing. I want to talk today about the developments yesterday regarding Twitter and Elon Musk's apparent successful takeover of Twitter. He'd gone from being a minority shareholder to putting to up the capital for an aggressive shareholder, an aggressive buyout. Twitter had put in place a kind of poison pill clauses, which would have made his the prospects of him buying outright difficult. But he's now gone directly to the shareholders and offered them not only a very attractive deal, but also significant investment in Twitter itself. Now, immediately, the questions abound about what this is all about. Twitter doesn't make any money. Twitter is a consumer of investment, not a producer of returns. The asking price of, I think it's $44 billion, which is, you know, a vast tranche of wealth, not all of it coming from Elon Musk, some of it coming from a private consortium of investors organised through Morgan Stanley Bank. This is a huge, huge sum of money to purchase something that doesn't seem to generate generate much in by way of profit, and for most of its life hasn't broken even. Are there ways of monetizing it? No doubt. You know, somebody far more entrepreneurial than I'm sure could work out ways of monetizing it, but probably that's not its chief purpose. Much as Rupert Murdoch's ownership of newspapers in Great Britain, like The Sun, hasn't produced returns for quite some time, though apparently it is now returning to profit, it has a far greater value as a political tool. When the wealth of Elon Musk manages to accumulate that much capital, it can't be retained without an equivalent amount of political power. Fortunes for the politically powerless are easily lost. And so it's really important to have a tool like Twitter to further political ends. I'd say ideological ends, but I don't actually think that other than some kind of perverse libertarian viewpoints and sort of kind of lazy nostrums about free speech, I don't actually think Musk and those like him are ideologues particularly. They believe in money, they believe in the concentration of capital, and they believe in their own wealth. But beyond that, I don't think there's much of an actual ideological program, other than that which kind of serves the accumulation of capital. Now, there are, of course, his defenders out there, people that look upon him as a kind of a visionary. And he has carefully crafted his image, appearing in things like Marvel's Iron Man alongside the fictional Tony Stark as a kind of a way of kind of emphasising who he sees himself as. This fantasy character exists sort of throughout our popular culture. It's obviously in lots of kind of superhero tropes, the kind of the lone billionaire who doesn't rely on kind of the standard model taxpayer funded models of law enforcement. Instead, he invents some clever solution to some evil supervillain, and be it Batman or Iron Man or whatever else. And it's a really, really compelling and seductive and attractive attractive ideology, that if one visionary individual can accumulate enough wealth, with that wealth and power, they can solve the world's problems. There, if you rewind to the sort of the pre-war era, there were intellectual movements and cultural movements on both sides of the Atlantic and in Europe that said similar things about the development of socialism, mass society, and mass culture, that that societies could only really endure if charismatic leaders, to whom the masses simply gave their uncritical adulation to, could drive us into the future, and that mass democracy and socialism and mass culture were all going to be threats to this kind of attractive new order. And you know, the thing that these sort of modernists of various stripes wind up with is fascism. I'm not suggesting that tech billionaires are necessarily likely to morph into the fascists of tomorrow. But as we know, the likes of the Mercers of the Robert Mercers of the world, and Peter Thiels of the world, are exceedingly relaxed about allowing their money to enable extreme right wing populism. Anyway, the carefully constructed persona of Elon Musk does tap into this idea that the inspired billionaire will save the world. I mean, we've had for many a year the kind of the more liberal incarnation of that in people like Richard Branson, who associated himself with such worthy causes as the anti-apartheid movement, and now as an airline owner likes to talk about climate change, as if these things weren't rather at odds with one another. And This is a kind of, again, part of a kind of a prevailing ideology that shapes not just the Western world, but perhaps the world per se. We believe that we watch TV shows about millionaires hiring and firing people. We watch shows about entrepreneurs making kind of see sort of Caesar-like judgments on aspiring inventors, giving them sort of the thumbs up or the thumbs down. We see on political panel shows millionaires being, or sometimes even billionaires, being invited on to give their opinions on the matters of the day. And we elevate a billionaire class to being kind of modern sages or public intellectuals. There was a very interesting essay written by Eric Hobsbawm in his book Fractured Times about the decline of the public intellectual. You know, the figure like Arthur Koestler or Bertrand Russell or Jean-Paul Sartre that was feted in the 20th century and seen as hugely important. You know, individuals like kind of Isaiah Berlin as kind of weather vanes as to where kind of politics, society, and culture were going. And these figures have all but evaporated. And my guess is that they have been replaced by the power of money. If we look at who does TED Talks, who talks about inspiration, motivation, self-will, personal achievement, and the attractive idea that we can keep on with the political and social and economic structures that we have and somehow avoid catastrophe because a Tony Stark character will use their billions to invent the clever thing that will deal with climate change. This is all very, very attractive, but it means that we don't have to necessarily question or worry about the systems that we live under. Elon Musk kind of benefits from all of this, and his numerous entrepreneurial activities, such as the creation of the Tesla motor car, that has, you know, mixed results at best. And his space exploration business, which again, some analysts suggest is a colossal great white elephant. Part of the reason for his wealth and success isn't the actual physical outcome of anything at all. His drilling company has yet to really produce anything substantial at all. The reason for his wealth and success is he can sell us this this fantasy, this Iron Man kind of fantasy, that vast concentrations of wealth and therefore inequality will somehow one day save the world. And he absolves the rest of us from worrying too much about those vast concentrations of wealth and inequality. Of course, Twitter has been there's been furore on Twitter about the takeover with good reason. Musk describes himself as a free speech fundamentalist. And the way in which he will probably, generate income for Twitter is by allowing the likes of Trump back on the platform, and people even worse than that who will use Twitter to generate views and clicks and likes and all that kind of ad-friendly stuff by saying more and more outrageous, controversial, offensive, and even dangerous, violence-inciting things. Musk has also talked about the possibility of having an edit button, which would kind of render threads and discussions on Twitter kind of hugely chaotic. So all of this presents attractive opportunities for somebody establishing, somebody obviously probably very wealthy and powerful like Google, establishing a different sort of platform.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Which will no doubt occur as millions upon millions of people quickly abandon Twitter. So this might act as a kind of a limitation on Musk's ambitions, but it will certainly present opportunities to people who want to use hate speech and bullying and aggression and all this other nasty stuff in order to establish themselves and in order to create streams of income for themselves. And it will place Musk at odds increasingly with regulators in the EU and in the United Kingdom, which is now becoming much more kind of oppositional to tech platforms having free reign to do what they like, and in the US, which has had the experience of being destabilized by tech platforms. So there will be, I believe, pushback, and it might be sufficiently so that Musk decides that the changes that he has suggested aren't really, you know, the candle is not worth the flame. So, you know, it's kind of up in the air on that one. But if you look at the far-right commentators who have reacted with glee and delight, the likes of Nigel Farage and people like that, at Twitter being the prospect of Twitter falling into Musk's hands, that gives you a clue about the way they see things going. The problem that Musk presents, therefore, is just as the fortunes of people like Trump seem to be in terminal decline, just as the world seems to be moving on from a populist moment with the Brexiteering Prime Minister in Great Britain, Boris Johnson, looking increasingly likely to lose his job, the failure of Marine Le Pen on Sunday to become president of France, a further failure to secure a populist presidency in Slovenia on the same day, and the kind of the gradual reveal from Putin's quagmire in Ukraine, that the sort of praise of Putinist Russia by the populist right and the far right has really been the kind of the equivalent of the youthful idiocy of the fellow traveller movement in the 1930s. In all of that, you suddenly have the possibility of the populist right getting its favourite platform back. And obviously, Trump and people like him were famously kicked off in 2020. So it looks like the populist moment might have some kind of legs in it still. Anger and resentment of Twitter users at the prospect of Musk taking over, and there hasn't been kind of an awful lot of ordinary Twitter users seeming to celebrate this prospect, might be the thing that affects the outcome here. Rather, it might be the thing that shapes the outcome. But we shall see. Okay, so just to give you a little taste of what's coming up this week, later on today I'm talking to James Phillips, who is the author of Two Evolutions and the Constitution, which is the history of how the English Civil War and the American War of Independence created the US Constitution. And there is obviously kind of like a long historical tale going all the way back to the signing of the Magna Carta and this sort of thing. So I believe we're going to have a really lively and interesting discussion, and you can catch up with that a little bit later on. Following on from that, I've acquired Sean McMeekin's brilliant new history of the Second World War, Stalin's War. And it's a retelling of the war from the Stalinist perspective. And McMeekin has an interesting thesis in that he's trying to gradually wean us off in the Anglosphere, wean us off this kind of overweening obsession we have with Nazism and the Second World War. Say, well, there are many more dimensions to this overlapping series of conflicts, and is a way really of kind of recomplexifying or recomplicating the story of the Second World War, which I think is pretty essential thing to do. When we have simple narratives that we tell ourselves, then we miss all sorts of things. Book that I've talked about for quite a while now, Richard Overy's Blood and Ruins, is another interesting re-examination, which talks about a period from 1931 with the Japanese invasion of Manchuria all the way through to 1945. And he says he calls this the Great Imperial War. And I would be inclined to suggest that the Great Imperial War goes on in many ways until perhaps even the late 1940s, if you look at the general bloodshed that continues in parts of Eastern Europe all the way up to the end of the 1940s. And for that, you can look at Kenneth Lowe's Savage Continent. But, you know, we'll get into that another time. So that's what's coming up in the next day or two. I'm trying to, obviously, this being the 10th year of the Explaining History podcast, I'm trying to kind of really kind of develop what we do here a little bit. So having these updates and having a kind of a more rounded discussion of what we're talking about. And I'd love to hear from you guys. Obviously, not everyone will agree with everything I say. That's the whole point of these kinds of things. So I'd love to hear from you guys. Come and find me on the Explaining History Facebook group, or come and find me on Twitter. You can find me Nick Shepley on Twitter. Let's have a chat, and I'd love to hear what you think. Anyway, thanks very much for listening and for your continued support. You can find me at www.explaininghistory.org. If you want to back our Patreon there, you know, our contribution is always gratefully accepted. And I will catch you all soon. Take good care, everybody. All the best. Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.